This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, June 2, 2021, the memorial of Saints Marcellinus and Peter, by Father William Doc Holliday.
You are quite wrong.
May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, and the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost.
Doesn't sound very charitable, does it? Telling somebody that they're wrong about something. But we have a good example of someone who would say that to someone, our Lord Jesus Christ, because there are a lot of people in this day and age that we know that are wrong about what they believe about the faith. The Sadducees were wrong on a couple levels. One, they didn't even believe in the resurrection, and here they're asking questions about it. It's sort of like in our day and age when a lot of people will want to bandy back and forth about the Blessed Sacrament of the altar, and they don't even believe that Jesus Christ is present there, but they have all kinds of things to say about it. They are indeed wrong. We're wrong about a lot of things. We need to step back, though, and think of the circumstances of life and get ourselves a right perspective. And it starts on life itself. We talk about you're wrong about these spiritual questions, again, using them to trip Jesus up, or wrong about things of the faith. We've got to start where we live. We are creatures of this world. We are hybrids between spirit and creature. We're made of the dust of the ground, but our Lord breathes the spirit of life into us, and we become living beings made in the image of God. That makes us different from the animals. So as we live this life in this place, we have to understand that life circumstances, many times we are wrong about them. But if we put ourselves in a perspective where we approach our Lord Jesus Christ, he will open our eyes to what we need to do. And he will answer us when we inquire of him, when we ask him why. You hear all the time people say, I know I shouldn't ask why, but I could use the words of Jesus. You are quite wrong. There's no problem with asking why. Last time I read somewhere, our Lord Jesus Christ, as he hung on the cross, said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was overwhelmed by life's circumstances, like being nailed to a piece of wood. He was overwhelmed by this and asked God why, he cried out to him, why have you forsaken me? God didn't answer him. Aside from the fact that he just hung there longer and fulfilled God's will, and as he went to his glory, then everything came to fruition for him. We need to understand that we need to acquiesce to God's will. Even in this world, when life circumstances aren't what we want, or when they're even hard. That first reading today, somewhat lengthy. It's like, you know, why not either his prayer, Tobias, or her prayer, his future daughter-in-law? Why not just one of them? They are both overwhelmed because of different circumstances, life's circumstances. Him, he's a very pious man, Tobias, very pious man, Tobit. Tobias is a son. Tobit is a very pious man, and he goes out of his way to do the right thing. He goes out at night and buries the dead. He goes out at night and buries the dead, and this could cost him his life because he's in exile. And as he does this, he doesn't think about his physical death. He thinks about doing what God wants him to do. What does he get for it? Blinded. He goes blind. How can that happen? Her, as we see, she prays about the fact that she's been married seven times. Seven times she gets married. And every time before the wedding night, her husband is killed. Yeah, you think that would be heavy enough, but then she's got handmaids that make fun of her about it. She gets mocked by people. Look at these two people. She's never done anything that we know wrong. A human being, yeah, of course. But at the end of the day, we don't know if any sin she committed to make seven men that she married died. And then, again, salt rubbed in the wounds. Life circumstances. Both of these people, they pray to God in that formula that we should always remember. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. These people do not, I can't believe you did this to me, God. How could this happen? Woe is me. It's giving God glory. Lord, your glory. And she in her prayer said, you are most merciful, Lord. Most merciful? Where does that come from in her circumstances? Because they know who God is. They adore him. They know that life circumstances lead to, if they are faced properly, to a relationship with our Lord that will be eternal. So they adore him for that, no matter what they're going through right now. Both of them confess, more so Tobit than she does, all these good things he did, and he starts bashing himself and the way he's lived his life, not in accord with what he should do. They give thanks that he has guided them up to this point in life. And then they ask him for things. And even Toby never said, Lord, make me be able to see. He just acquiesces to God's will. But he asks him to be merciful, as does she. When we look at this, in this form of prayer, this is the one that you should have all the time. You should write down adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. The book of Acts, A-C-T-S, easy to remember, good acronym. When we look at it this way, we have to understand that if you approach God this way, no matter what your circumstances is, he is going to be merciful. This is why she could say, under her circumstances, that he is merciful. He, blind, you're merciful. They give God the glory for no matter what circumstances they find themselves, because they're faithful. He's a God of mercy. He is a God of mercy. He's a God of living, as it says in the gospel. He hears us. You know, this is the end of the day message at the end of that first reading. And the Lord heard both of them. Why? Because they both prayed the same exact way. They both prayed in adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and then supplication. Then they asked for something. And again, when they ask, it wasn't a directive. I want this. They acquiesced to his will, this God of mercy. And he heard. He heard because they asked correctly. They asked humbly. They knew who they were before him. They asked obediently. And one other thing, particularly when she prays, is her chastity is you as a reason that God heard her. When we look at these things, and Tobit, the same thing, chastity in a way of doing what God wants, his righteousness before God. We should appeal to those things, and God will, what? We don't have to tell him about them. He knows what we do good. He knows the gospel, do in secret. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Even when you pray, don't make a big deal out of it. Go in your closet, pray, and your Father who hears you in secret will reward you. This is what we want from God. Do we want him to prove himself to us, or do we want him to do his will in our lives? Do you want to make a big show of him asking about it, or do we want to just humbly go before him and ask for his blessing? Both of these people received it. Tobit receives his sight again, and she marries his son, Tobias, and they live happily ever after. It's like the fairy tales. We get a fairy tale ending at the end of this. You know, no matter what's going on here, we get a fairy tale ending. If we get that, well done, good and faithful servant. If we get that, we get to live with our Lord Jesus Christ, the Blessed Mother, all the saints and angels for all eternity. We will live happily ever after. No sickness, no death, no tears, none of that. We will live happily ever after. We got to deal with this here first. That's the reality. It's for them. It's a Bible story. Well, the saints who we honor today, that's not a Bible story. That's history. Horrible torture and death for our Lord after doing all kinds of good things for him. As a matter of fact, the horrible torture and death came as a result of doing good things for him. That's the saints. Look at your own life. This is where it gets real. Theirs is done. Ours is still going on. We need to use this as an example. We need to approach this in a way that leads us to having him hear our prayers. We have to do it correctly. It doesn't matter about life circumstances. Look at her prayer. She admits it. I came to a point where I consider hanging myself. Oh, there you go. She's in mortal sin. She considered hanging. It's not mortal sin. It's a temptation. It's a temptation. It's like any other temptation that we face in this world. Temptations are not sin. They can be sins of thought if we entertain them too much. I felt like hanging myself. Now, if she had for days planned it out, wrote how she was going to do it, collected ropes or whatever, and done like that, yep, that's a sin. Okay, even if you're just taking that far and thinking about it. But it's not a sin to be tempted to that. I have been brought to a point in life where I'm considering hanging myself. But I'm not going to do that. It'll dishonor my father, which would be a sin against God's command to honor your father and mother. To have your parents be sorrowful over something like that because you're overwhelmed by your circumstances. But it's still honest. She's being absolutely honest. I'm going to kill myself. That or any other mortal sin that comes into your mind is not sin until you start messing with it. Start entertaining thoughts or talking about it. Thought, word, deed. These are the problems. Those are the sins. Just because you're confronted with a thought is not sinful. God rewards them. I would actually submit to you, he rewards because of one of that being part of the issue. I actually wanted to kill myself. But I did. I dealt with excellent. These guys that were martyrs, all the men and women of history as martyrs, they could have run away. They could have pinched incense. A lot of them did. A lot of them were restored to the church. And after purgatory, I'm sure for a long time, they're in heaven now. But at the end of the day, we have to approach this and say, you can't run. You can't run because that does not acquiesce to God's will in your life. If it's not God, God would never put me in this position. How sacrilegious is that for you to say that? How sacrilegious is it for us to say, this isn't God's will? I can't stand when people say that. It's not God's will that this happened, you know, whatever the news story is, and, you know, a bunch of people die. That's not God's will that that happened. Pandemic first starts. I can't believe some of these Christians, how horrible it is. Say, this is God's chastisement on the world. It was, is. We don't deserve this. Yeah, you do. Either one of these folks, Tobit or his daughter-in-law, do either one of them ever say, Lord, I can't believe you're doing this. I didn't deserve this. You don't know what you deserve or what you don't. There was a book a couple decades ago, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. Not a proper title. Read the scriptures. There is none good, no, not one. Oh, wow, look at that. Kind of a messed up title. We can try the best we can, but guess what? One sin is worthy of death, and we generally are committing them every day. And he still lets us live. You know, he's cutting us some slack all the time. We've got to appreciate that. So when the heat gets really turned up, even if you're overwhelmed by it, You know, we have to just appreciate the fact that if our Lord Jesus Christ himself, you can be overwhelmed. My God, why have you forsaken me? I mean, he's his eternal father. He's lived with God the Father for all eternity. He knew he wasn't going to forsake him, but in his humanity, it sure felt like it. This is the reality. We face life circumstances because that is a manifestation of thy will be done on earth as it in heaven. It's not thy will be done as far as everything's comfy for me on earth as it is in heaven. You know, we've got to earn that. We've got to earn it. Both these people did, and they earned God's blessing. And just because he blesses them, and it doesn't matter how things pan out on this earth, if you stay faithful, he will bless you. Maybe not here, but there. This is what you have to appreciate. This is our perspective. Our perspective is on eternity, not here. It doesn't matter what has happened. And you're going to get tests. Most of us have been through it. As you get older, you know, younger with us, it's going to happen, all right? Some of us have gone through it already. It's like, oh, my gosh, I wonder what the doctor's going to say about this. Ooh, it's probably going to be this, and that's bad. I've talked a good show about this for years and years and how you need to buck up. And then all of a sudden, it's you. It's like, wow. Always get the kick out of the first. You know. I used to go visit people at what used to be the MD Anderson Cancer Center. I used to visit them all the time, bring them the sacrament and everything like that. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting in the waiting room and I'm, hey, these are my peeps. Yeah. That's me. You know, I'm not there bringing anybody to the sacrament. I'm there. Okay, did you just talk a good show? Or let's see what you do with this. Yeah. That's the reality of things. Was I happy about it? And I sit here and chuckle about it like I do now? Nope. But at the end of the day, that's the reality of things. You just got to face it. Everybody can do it. If I can do it, anybody can do it. I complain about everything. And not that I didn't complain about it. Try not to be that overt about it. This is the reality of things. When we face things like that, it's going to happen. Just getting older is that. This is a reality. Not fun. Things hurt for a long time. Walk things off like you walk it off. I've had things happen now that they have just stayed for years. Don't walk anything off. It's reality. Got to deal with it. It's his will. People get old and die. We got to deal with it properly. This is what the lesson is today. And that's what the lesson that the martyrs teach us. And it's also the lesson that we endure, should endure as we progress. Because just like them, a couple hundred years from now, it's going to be over for us also. For some of us, a lot sooner than a couple hundred years from now. But a couple hundred years from now, I guarantee that if we live, maintain a life of faith and obedience, all of us will be joking about this whole thing right now and how much we got bent out of shape over stuff that happened down here for this little wisp of smoke of time that we're here. Okay? That's it. That's the message. In the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost.